Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast, proudly sponsored by BTL Aesthetics, the creators of M-Face, the needle-free alternative to tightening, lifting, and toning your face. BTL treatments are available in the best aesthetic clinics nationwide.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Hello and welcome to Fess Up, a Go Loud podcast. My name is Liz Dwyer and...
I am Nikki Dwyer, and thank you so much for joining us.
We are the sisters behind Future Beauty Show, which is a big event that is all about aesthetics, clinical beauty, wellness, health optimization, everything to do with getting older and trying to prevent it, basically.
Smart aging, I think.
Smart aging,
the way to describe it.
And why we are having this pod here is because we are kind of sick of celebrities spouting olive oil and meditation and horse riding as the fountain of youth and claiming that they look 30 years younger than they did 30 years ago because of these miracle treatments.
Which is basically, let's call a spade, total horseshit.
Total horseshit.
But I think what we're trying to do is we're just trying to open the conversation so that basically we can all have a bit of reality check here about why we're all looking the way we look and, you know, just lift the lid on it.
Exactly. And also we want to know what they're doing. Like we want them to fess up and be honest about the treatment.
So we can do it.
So we can do it. And we can get into their doctors, their surgeons, their hair transplant surgeons. So over the course of the series, we will be talking to various celebs, well-known personalities about what they have done in the course of their lifetime in the line of health and beauty, whether it's colonics or cosmetic surgery, bottom facials. People do mad stuff to look good. And we want to know what they've done, what worked and what was a big regret. So on this week's episode, we are going to be joined later by Monica Ivani, who is the brow queen in Ireland at the moment. She created the MI brow pigment, which is kind of similar, I suppose, to Febreze. Hope I don't get in trouble for saying that.
Yeah, you're going to get killed.
Yeah. Similar idea for anyone who's done the microblading over the years or who's had Nikki Coulson's tattoo brows.
Jeez, I have to say,
I know you hate them.
I'm not a fan.
I love them.
I think if you've got dark hair,
your eyebrows right now, and you could fucking do with them. Sorry.
Who needs enemies, lads, when you've got sisters?
Honestly,
sisters. I know, but like I'm looking at yours and they look a bit grey.
Well, yours look lopsided. So
well, they are, but that's because my Botox is just kicking in, but it's only kicking in on one side. Yeah.
I was wondering. Yeah. You look really odd. One eyebrow is entire.
I know. It actually is an entire. But yeah, I'm just not mad at them. I think if you've got dark hair,
yes,
I think they're amazing. But I have never, ever seen a blonde with good tattooed eyebrows.
Including
never.
Me, your sister.
Including you.
Oh yeah, thanks very much.
Sorry to all your blonde
Monica
friends.
Monica and her million followers would disagree with you.
Sorry, she can prove me wrong.
She can prove you wrong. Maybe we'll get her to. I'm going to strap you down to the table and we'll fee your brows, or we'll MI your brows, sorry. Anyway, Monica is coming on later because Monica had a blepharoplasty recently and I am obsessed with blepharoplasties. It is the new Botox as far as I'm concerned.
Ah, come on. It's not, like, it's a surgical treatment.
Yes, but it's... Yeah.
Tell people what a blepharoplasty is.
Blepharoplasty is an eyelid lift, right? Or it can be...
It's not an eyelid lift. So what it is it removes your overhanging loose skin on your eyelid.
Or it can be the lower blepharoplasty when they remove the bags. You know, often people have genetic bags. It doesn't matter what age you are or what cream you have or what Botox you do.
Yeah.
People can have genetic fat pads under their eyes that will not go anywhere until you have surgery, basically.
Yeah.
So there's upper blef, we call them blefs for short, lower blef, and they're both very different procedures. And there's different ways of doing them. The surgeon goes in under the eyelid, you can have them done externally, you can have them done under GA, you can have them done locally. But like, for anyone I know who's done it, okay, now, in America, I'm telling you, blepharoplasty is the new Botox, right?
Yeah.
Everyone gets them done.
But actually, it's a treatment that's been around a really long time. Like, our 82-year-old dad just had his cataracts done and the surgeon, Rosanna Khan, was like, you really need a blef.
Because and he said no.
He said no. What an idiot.
And it was going to be covered under health insurance.
I know, because his eyelids are hanging so far that it's actually impairing his vision now. So actually, that doesn't fare well too well for us because genetically it's a predisposition, I suppose.
Yeah, and he looks like he's drunk half the time anyway.
It's just because his eyelids hang down.
Yeah.
But we're lucky we're not so bad on the bags. Like, I have pals who are like, have had bags. You know, I have photos of our graduation when we all look young faced and fresh faced. And
some people still have the under eye bags.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult to treat. Like, and people are like, even concealer actually can make it look worse.
Because
it kind of sits on the shadow. And then
filler can do it. But I mean, there is, it's a real skill to do the filler. So they have to build up from the mid cheek
up
yeah. to support it, because otherwise you have these pockets of filler with nothing to sit on. So it then starts to kind of slide. Yeah. So you end up with these, like, actually it looks worse. You look like you've got like a bruise or a swelling pouch underneath your eyes. So you can use filler for it in very few circumstances, very few. And there's ways to rejuvenate it, but I mean, basically nothing really works. It'll improve it or give you, like, you know, a better appearance, but nothing will get rid of that bag fully, with the exception of a surgical treatment.
Yeah, now, like, I have seen lymphatic drainage treatments done on the likes of M-Face, you know. And
but again, they work temporarily.
Temporarily, yeah.
It's not going to get rid of your bag forever.
No, but if you do have those under eye bags and then you get a cold, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or you have an allergy or yeah. they literally blow up. And yeah. like it can be, and like people I don't know, who have them, they're like, it's painful.
Yeah.
Like it hurts.
But I think, I don't actually know, but I'm pink. Do you have like pockets that fill
basically
up?
Basically what happens is the fat bulges out. It's like a little mini hernia
up
around the eyes, and the fat bulges out through the skin through the muscle tissue underneath the skin, and that's it. The fat's out, and there's nothing you can do about it unless you get it out. So it is a surgical situation. Louis Walsh had it done years ago.
His was really
effective, actually. It really, like, you know, I think it really de-aged him. I know.
Yeah.
He had it done during the time when he was on The X Factor.
He always reminds me, I know this is a terrible thing to say, we should ask him to come on and fess up. You know Stewie from America, is not an American Dad. What's the other
Family Guy?
Stewie from Family Guy. Louis Walsh.
Anyway, but he had it done. But he did have it done at the same time as having the hair transplant done. And I think he had a bit of a few tweakments at the same time. Himself and Sharon Osbourne were like in a competition to see who could, like,
oh my god, I know this has got nothing to do with it, I'm totally going off topic, but did you see Sharon Osbourne post Ozempic? She's like a skeleton.
She does look like a skeleton. Yeah. She does not look good.
Not a good look.
I know.
Anyway, we go back to the eyes.
Now, she's another one who's had a couple of eye lifts.
She's a load of eye lifts, but I mean, eye lifts are amazing.
So in terms of blepharoplasty, I'm kind of going, I've been chasing the droopy eyelids and the brows drooping for years with Botox, which is called a chemical brow lift.
It does work. It works for lifting the brow, yeah.
Yeah, but only for a while. Right, so if you want something permanent, you're looking at either a brow lift, which apparently in America a lot of the surgeons are saying, 20-year-olds are coming into them now saying,
getting brow lifts,
Botox, forget the Botox, I want to go straight for the brow lift, because this fox eye brow, you know, the fox eye trend.
I've actually seen it done, being done.
The brow lift,
yeah, it's amazing.
What do you mean you've seen it being done?
Well, I've watched surgical like videos of it.
Okay.
It's actually amazing. So they do incisions behind here,
your hairline, yeah,
yeah, and then they basically, I mean, for simplification purposes, they do a load of stitching here.
Yeah.
And basically pull you up from here.
He's pointing at the top of her arch of her eyebrow and forehead.
So, there's different techniques, obviously, but that was the one I watched. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
But a lot of the young ones are getting this done now in America.
Yeah, to stop the heavy brow.
Which is kind of ridiculous, actually, because like a surgeon will say to you, you know, the face is going to keep changing, particularly that muscle group over the top is going to keep, you know, it changes over a lifetime.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking of getting surgery, I'm not sure. Look, I mean, everyone's different and everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but I think getting like severe face changing surgery in your 20s, especially for something like a brow lift, is kind of,
and also, I mean, it's a baddie. Like, I mean, do you know, especially things like the fox brow and all these things, they look fucking ridiculous if you ask me. Sorry. They do. Like, your eyes, you're not supposed to, like, if I'd come to you in the 80s and said, you know, your man Spock there on Star Trek, I'm mad to look like him, you would have been like, off you go now. No, that's what they want to look like. They want to have the fox eyebrows is like this. So their eyebrows go, they shave their eyebrows off and then they like do some stupid things so their eyebrows are pointing.
Fox eyebrows makes you just, your fox, it's not fox eyebrows, it's fox eyes, first of all. It make you look sultry and like, you know,
I mean,
feline-y.
I mean, the portion of the population that aesthetically can pull that shit off is like, I mean, 2%. The rest of you, Spock. Spock from Star Trek.
Anyway, for anyone who's trying to fix their eyes, which is what this conversation is
supposed
to be about.
Fixing your physiological issues with your overhanging eyes or your fat pockets
under
your...
If you don't want to go under the scalp for blepharoplasty, which, by the way, is not as scary as it sounds. We'll talk about it later. And what are the options? What's going on? What have you got?
There's basically, I mean, heat treatments. That's it, basically.
No, so, i.e. the skin pen.
I'm going to talk about the different heat treatments, but they all fall under the umbrella of heat. Okay. So if you think about it, when you put a chicken fillet onto a pan and it heats up, the skin contracts with the heat.
Shrivels.
So that's the premise of all these heat treating, you know, treatments. So there's radio frequency, which we've talked at length about.
A lot of people won't use radio frequency around the eyes.
Well, you can use it now because they have now got, you know, things that they can put into your eyes and they'll treat your actual eyelids.
Actually, I've had the Exilis VTL Exilis. Yeah. Roller eyeball. It's actually super.
And that's radio frequency with HIFU. Yeah. So they're the kind of radio frequency treatments. They will give you a little lift.
Yes.
They will definitely tighten your skin a little bit. But I mean, if you have crappy skin or a sag or an overhang, it is not going to do it for you. It categorically is not going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. It'll give you a little bit of an improvement and a little bit of a lift. Definitely. So if you're like in the early stages of this and you're trying to, you know, fend off the tide of time, this is a good, they're the good kind of entry level treatments. The other one that we get asked about all the time is the plasma pen, fibroblast pen. They're all the same. They all come under the same family of treatments. So basically, these are these kind of pen type devices and they have like a little metal thing on the end. And basically, it delivers energy down to this pen. It doesn't touch your skin, but it jumps over your skin and in theory, the heat goes to the fibroblast just below your skin and it creates this contraction. So you've seen these ones.
A little micro wound.
You see those all, have you ever seen those ones with all the little dots?
Yes.
And they have them like all along, you know, under their eye.
Muscles, yeah.
Yeah, but like there's hundreds of them.
Scabs.
So the device does not touch your skin. It actually penetrates the heat penetrates your skin and creates like a fibroblast is the theory. And
it doesn't create a fibroblast. What it does is
stimulates your fibroblasts, which create collagen.
Yeah.
So, and it leaves a tiny little red, or, you know, a scab on the front. It takes about a week to heal. So there's various different names for it. Plasma pen, plasma resurfacer.
Skin pen
is a different thing. It's a microneedling machine as opposed to, you know, plasma. Anyhow, so the short story is, you know, people ask us about these all the time. Do they work? How much do they cost? And is it worth the downtime? I've never done them, so I'm just going to caveat that myself. I've never done them, and the reason I've never done them is because I'm absolutely terrified of them, actually, to be fair. They are amazing. They do work. They do lift the skin. They do tighten the skin. And they're probably the most progressive things on the market in terms of actually like tightening loose, saggy, crappy skin, which is the real problem here. And you can use it for all the things like that you can't really target with Botox, which is really interesting as well. However,
your neck.
Yeah, like there. But you know those lines that you get here, like it's kind of a creppiness when your skin gets creppy.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's great for. However, and here is the big however. No. The treatments are.
They're a couple of K.
No, they're not that. They're not that expensive, are they? I'm going to research that. I don't know. To be honest with you, but what I will say is, when I did do my research about all these, the horror stories. Oh my God, the horror stories. In the wrong hands, it is so bad. Like I've seen people with full scarring that doesn't go away, so they're left with these massive like.
Generally, the plasma pens are only sold to medics, right?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure.
You're thinking of skin pens because the plasma pens are generally only sold into medical situations.
I don't.
Whereas the other ones, like maybe the skin pens and the derma pens.
I don't know if that's the situation or not. But what I will say is when it is done and it's done well, it's amazing. Like it's really amazing. But if it's done badly or done on the wrong patient, like somebody who's got melasma or hyperpigmentation or you know, or if they do it too close to the skin and it causes these little burn wounds. Jesus Christ. Like, I mean, desperate. Scarring. Really bad.
My theory as well is also with all these heat treatments and which I've been getting forever, like when we were only watching videos the other day.
Oh God, yeah.
What it does under the skin to the skin, it like makes all this, let's say your skin is loads of little layers of like seven layers of paper in a book and they should all be separate, right? But the minute you start pushing in these heat treatments and these collagen stimulating treatments, a glue starts forming between these layers of thin paper and it starts melding them together into one, which is grand if you're never going to do anything. But if you actually do want to get a blepharoplasty, which I totally want to get at some point, or if you wanted to get a surgical facelift or whatever, it's very difficult for the surgeon then to actually do anything because
they can't separate
your
those
layers are all mushed together.
Yeah, so it's basically like taking two pieces of paper, gluing them together with a bit of Pritt stick. That's the heat treatments. And if you want to then do a surgical treatment, you're then trying to to separate those two pieces of paper, but it's very difficult to do it when they've been pretty stick together.
But most people, Irish people are very adverse to plastic surgery, like the full surgery. Yeah, now, that is changing because they're kind of going, do you know what? I've spent just as much on Botox and plasma pens and freaking, radio frequency. I could have gotten the eye lift and it would have cost me the same amount of money and I get a guaranteed result and I'd be done and dusted in a week instead of waiting around for things to maybe work, maybe not work, you know. Now, saying that, as I said, I had the Exilis a few times and that is a good... Actually, I got Julian, who is my boyfriend, I got him to do it because his eyes were all like getting tired.
Droopy.
And I got him set
down. I'm glad you said that online about him. Droopy lids, Julian. Like I said, who needs enemies?
It was interesting... It was interesting for him because he's obviously never done anything, right? He wouldn't even use moisturizer. So whereas when you're doing heat treatments on the likes of us, like, you know, we're not coming, our base level is like higher, I suppose, because we've had loads of other treatments done, you know. Well, let me tell you, he got a phenomenal result off it. Whereas, because he's never done anything to his skin, right? So if you're putting heat treatments on someone who's done loads of Botox, loads of filler, whatever, you're not going to get such a dramatic result. He's never done anything, doesn't even use moisturizer. And he got a really, really amazing result of it. Like he looked like suddenly he was wide awake all the time, you know.
And a few weeks on, is it?
Yeah, it's still looking good. I keep looking at it going, wow, it actually has made such a big difference.
Well, I do think the heat treatments work. Like, so the radio frequency, regardless of the form, so whether it's radio frequency microneedling, radio frequency with HIFU, they definitely work. It's probably the least dangerous and will get you good results. But if you have, it just depends where you are on the scale. Like if you're grand, you're in your 30s or your 40s or even your 50s, it'll get you a good result. But if you're very, very crappy and very, very droopy and overhangy, it's
this is
not.
In terms of your eyes.
Your eyelids. Yeah. Eyelids. I'm just talking about eyelids. Not eye, under eye bags, but eyelids. It's like, I mean, there's nothing really that's going to do it except for
a bluff.
A bleph.
And as we've just discovered, so a bleph, right?
Yeah.
Bleph, you're talking about...
A couple of grand, 3 grand, three,
anywhere
4 grand.
From 3 to 10 grand, basically.
Depending on how...
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Ireland. Whereas, actually, a lot of people don't realise, you can actually go away. Now, I'm not talking about going to Turkey. We don't need... What was the thing on the other...
Oh, God.
Sunseeing surgery. Jesus, would traumatise you, that thing on RT the other night. I'm not saying go off to some dodgy surgery, but a lot of people don't realise that you can go over to other EU countries.
Yeah, you know, and get them much cheaper.
Yes, exactly.
Like Lithuania and...
Where I was thinking were Spain or France or Switzerland, where these surgeons, I'm not saying the surgeons here aren't amazing, but they don't have the volume of... They don't do the volume of plastic surgery that a surgeon...
But actually, there's an argument saying that the correct person to go to for a blepharoplasty is not a plastic surgeon, but it's an ocular... An ocular surgeon?
Oculoplast, yeah.
Like we met the amazing Rizwana Khan and at Future Beauty Show.
Janet Butler down in Waterford Eye.
Oh yeah,
Eye Clinic.
But like, I mean, so these are ocular surgeons. They
specialize
oculoplasts. Sorry, I don't know why I can't say that. But like, they specialize in dealing with people with, you know, what's it called? What's the thing that Dad just had done?
Glaucoma.
No, he doesn't have glaucoma. Jesus.
What's glaucoma?
Oh my God. Glaucoma is when your eyelashes start to turn in and scratch your eyeballs. Like it's.
I think the glaucoma is when your eyeball changes colour.
No, that's. What are we talking
about? Cataracts.
Cataracts. Sorry. Okay. So, moral of the story of this podcast is do not take any medical advice from any single thing that we say.
Because we haven't a bounce.
Haven't a bounce. But we have a bit of crack chatting about it.
Anyway, what we're saying, look, okay, if you're going to go to a blepharoplasty.
Yeah, because they understand like the eye more than anybody, than a plastic, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, a plastic surgeon will just argue that it's just a sliver of skin off. And it is a sliver of skin. And they do this one stitch thing and it's called poop.
I know, but...
I know, if that sliver goes wrong, you're screwed.
A friend of mine's mom got it done over in Turkey.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it's so bad. It's so, so bad. So there's this tiny little corner of her eye where they took too much away.
Yeah.
And so just this teensy little corner of her eye is always, always open. Always, always open. So she doesn't get to sleep properly.
Oh.
She gets dry eye. She gets all this stuff all the time. And it's because like, and so like, I mean, we diminish it that it's this real small little thing. But I mean, it's one little thing that goes wrong by millimetre is.
Did she not get a skin graft to get it back?
No, because they've taken, do you know what it's like? You know, when you take something away, like it's very hard to put it back. But if you know, it's easier to take a little bit and then go back and take some more.
Yeah. But the other problem with blepharoplasties, which we'll talk about, is that there's a kind of a one size fits all kind of thing that a lot of surgeons do, and they just take the certain
same amount,
and they don't necessarily take the person's natural eye shape into consideration.
Oh yeah, like
they get that weird like New York housewife kind of look, and they're like, ooh, you know, Google.
They all look a bit, yeah.
Like a bit, ooh, starstruck when you're like just basically you're stuck like that, you know.
And up next, we have the amazing Monica Ivani, who is the brow queen in Ireland. She is going to be talking all things brows and the symmetry that they bring to our faces and how important they are. But most importantly, she's going to dish up on her blepharoplasty treatment, which she basically did online, live on Instagram. Monica, thanks so much for coming to join us here today.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
We're delighted to have you.
I'm very honoured.
Thank you. Monica, you came to my attention maybe about 7 years ago. So
wow.
I have two pals of mine who are going to be very annoyed with me that you're on.
You're
actually
in trouble.
I am in trouble. I have two pals of mine who are brow queens in South County Dublin. And then they were like, have you heard of this Monica one? And then I started following you and I was like, Monica is
a disruptor.
Monica is disrupting things.
Thank you.
And you since, would you have maybe stolen the throne of the brow queen throne in Dublin, perhaps?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, no, there's a couple of other people as well.
Yeah.
That is really well known and is really good as well. But thank you so much. But obviously, maybe I'm more well known than some others because when I got into the industry, it was before anybody.
Yeah.
I started doing hair strokes 12 years ago. Back then, everybody said to me, Monica, you're mad. Nobody's going to get their brows done here.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, I think the idea then was, the perception then was you were getting a full tattoo on your arm.
Okay, exactly. Pause, ladies. We have to explain. Monica does the semi-permanent brows and the micropigments, and you've been doing this, as I said, for 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
That's mad because actually, I thought I was one of the first people to get fee brows done in Ireland. And I was about, I think it was 9 years ago when I had them done. And I was a guinea pig for a pal of mine who was just starting to bring it in here.
Yeah.
You're 12 years in this game.
Yeah. Wow. So 12 years. So I did it well before anybody else did. And that's how basically I made my name. Because it's just because when I got in, if you get in now, it's so much harder because obviously
it's very saturated.
It's so saturated. Yes. So many people doing it, which is fantastic. It's brilliant, you know. But it's a great industry. Absolutely
and
great.
Then,
industry.
But at some point, when did you then you went and took it a step further and launched your own range of pigments and brows? So people might know, they might have heard of Fee Brows. I remember there was HD Brows for a while, but then you launched the Monica Ivani pigments.
So this
is like you've turned your name, your product into it, like a big franchise, in fact.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, I was asked to do that. So my pigments are made, it's a collaboration with an American pigment brand.
Yes.
Pigment manufacturer, and they're one of the biggest manufacturers for a permanent makeup in the world, and they have asked me to do a collab again back before anybody else was doing collaborations, but now it's so popular to do collabs.
Yeah,
back then wasn't. This was like 6-7 years ago when they asked me first, so nobody really was doing that, you know. But also, you see, you need to know that I have been teaching worldwide. I have been traveling for years and years teaching my technique. And so I was really well known before I was well known in Ireland.
Okay.
So I was more well known in America and say Australia, Europe, rather than Ireland.
Okay.
Right. And why is Ireland your home? It's like, is this everyone always comes home to roost. So
absolutely. Yeah. Now I'm originally from Hungary, but I have been here for 24 years. So I have spent more time here than I spent in Hungary. So Ireland is my absolute home.
Uh-huh.
Absolute.
Speaking of traveling for trends, we often talk about like aesthetic trends, which we'll talk about now in 2 seconds. But you know, you must see when you're traveling to Australia, America, the trends, the different types of beauty trends and the different perceptions of beauty in different regions. I always think it's really interesting.
Absolutely.
What do you think is, if you were to say the Australian beauty trend, what would you say is their kind of main thing?
Well, Australians, I would say very similar to Ireland in a way that I don't think they do so much of it, but say America, and obviously it depends on each state in America, but say, you know,
East Coast, West Coast.
Exactly, absolutely. Oh my God. And then in the middle, you know, say Texas, or, you know, there's not a lot, but there is. Americans are definitely, I would say, the highest in when it comes to beauty. I mean, they're just obsessed with...
Apparently Ireland is number one in Europe.
Would you say the Americans are more obsessed than Asians?
Yeah.
Really?
I would say so.
In terms of like brows and makeup
Absolutely.
Or surgery? Or
no, that doesn't mean that they're the best at it. I mean, no. There is, you know.
Yeah.
America is a funny place in a way that they're very good. They're very ahead of us in some things, but then they're very backwards in some other things.
Yeah. I always think of American beauty as clean girl beauty, like the Bobby Brown look, you know, they all kind of look.
It's funny, I don't think of it like that. I now think of it as the housewife's beauty, like
really?
Where they all have the big lips, the big eyes, the big eyelashes, the big bouncy blow dry, the big nails, and they all look so samey. And I think there's like definitely a different West Coast, East Coast look, but it's still like. They're all very done and they want to look done. Yeah. And I was listening to a plastic surgeon at a conference over in London a few weeks ago, and he was like, in America, it's like a hallmark of wealth that, you know, you look frozen. So they want to look frozen with the big lips because it's a hallmark that they can afford to get this stuff done. Yeah. As we're the opposite. We're like,
very
I want to look amazing, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm doing
it. And that's it. And exactly. And Irish people, they just don't want, they want it undetectable. They want it like not visible at all. They want to look their best. Absolutely. As you said, they want to look $1 million, but they don't want it to be known. Nobody. And if you ask them, if you ask any Irish people, have you had this? Have you had that? They're like, no.
Which
and clearly you can see the Botox eyebrows or you know,
or the facelift or the boob job.
Literally
just met somebody 10 minutes ago and I was like, wow, you look amazing, and her boobs were up to here, and I was like, did you have a boob job? I just straight out was
did
like,
did you not
I did. You know exactly who I was talking to. I'll tell you afterwards. And she was like, no, they're all mine. And she was like poking at them, and I was like, they're rock hard. Go away out of that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which
you know.
This is the premise of this podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
But the premise of this podcast is like, we shouldn't have to lie about it. You know, I mean, it's funny because in one hand, I'm like, if you want to lie to your husband, that's totally fine.
Why's your husband?
But don't lie to your girlfriend.
Exactly. Absolutely. But what? Why do you? I don't understand that. Why? I'm so outspoken about it. And I do think that women now, they just want to know about all the little bits and all the things you can get. So what is the reason to keep it a secret?
Have you got any flack, like, or you know, trolling or whatever, for, because you are very outspoken on Instagram about the things
you've
done?
No, never.
So you've been, it's all been largely supportive.
Absolutely. Thank God. Yeah. And you know, and I know social media and Instagram can be a very, very cool place, in a way that if you make your opinions known, there will be backlash for sure, because some people will just not agree with you. So no, but thank God, no. My
trolls are nasty though, aren't they? Oh my God. Do you remember last year after Future Beauty Show, somebody, I don't know what newspaper, put like a photo up of us, and it was, you know, and there's all these trolls under it saying, I just had a baby. And they were like, Jesus, for the sisters of Future Beauty Show, you one could get a bit of liposuction. And I was like, I've just had a baby. How dare you? Yeah, I was disgusted. And I was like 8 weeks postpartum.
That is terrible.
Oh, yeah,
but look, shocking.
People are mean, and look, we all know it, and you just have to rise above it.
Yeah.
Which is going to bring us on to our quickfire round. Quickly, go.
Okay, fess up, go. Have you ever had colonic?
No.
Botox?
Yes.
IPL?
No.
Dentistry, cosmetic dentistry?
No.
Chemical peel?
No.
Vaginal steaming?
No.
We can take that as a yes.
No, no, definitely not. No, that's the funniest.
Filler?
Question. Yes.
Cosmetic surgery?
Yes.
Side pills?
Yes.
PRP?
No.
Poo assessment? Pelvic floor or vaginal treatment?
Not enough.
Any kind of CO2, laser, Fraxel laser, any of that kind of stuff? Ever suffered from acne or any kind of major?
Used to when I was young, yeah, absolutely.
Ever had any body parts enhanced, either taken away or added
to? No.
Suffer from any inflammatory conditions?
No.
Vein zapped?
No.
Fantasized about marrying a plastic surgeon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yes. Every night. Absolutely.
It's
plastic
like
surgery is my...
We just have plastic surgery botched.
Yeah.
That's what those guys do so well. Like your man, I mean, Dr. Nassif. Like they're
rough. They're weird looking.
I'm telling you, those two boys get more tail than, I don't know, Brad.
No.
Yeah. I'd say so.
I do follow Nassif on Instagram, and his new hot wife is not the one he started out with, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like some kind of Greek goddess kind of
thing. She looks amazing.
She does.
She's probably 20.
Yeah, she is probably 20.
She is probably 20.
That's why.
Yeah.
So I want to know very specifically about your cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
Go on. Okay. Tell us.
Now, you've been honest about this on Instagram.
Absolutely.
And you have been, you've documented
the
whole thing.
And I had, you have no idea. Like, obviously, when you build your followers, they follow you for a reason. So obviously, my followers follow me for permanent makeup. And most of them are probably not even clients. They're probably students from, or not students. They're probably artists from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they follow you too for tips and whatever. But when I posted about my bleh,
So explain to people what a bleph is.
What is a
bleph? It's an upper eyelid surgery where they take a piece of your hanging skin on top of your eyelid. Now it can be, now mine was the upper eyelid, but you can get it done under the eye as well. Okay. Now my under eye was fine, but I had a very hooded,
I was going to ask, why did you decide to get this done?
Oh, the skin, I'll send you a picture of my before and like so much skin. It was just hanging over my eyelid.
Yes.
So I could never use a liquid eyeliner ever, because there was as soon
but
as
surely,
I put it on,
like, and as I presume not, as a brow not, artist and as someone who's focused on the eyes all the time,
yes,
that kind of, you know,
yeah absolutely. So now I do have to say the bleph was the best decision I have ever made in my time.
Okay, so let's
better
start.
Than marrying my husband.
Oh, don't say that. He won't be listening. So let's start. Okay, when did you decide you were going to have a bleph?
Years ago. Yeah,
okay.
Years ago.
But you only did it this year.
I did. I only did it this year. Now, obviously, because I'm in the beauty industry, and obviously, I have to make sure that if I get something, I get it properly. And and now, so I have been. A lot of my clients have it done. A lot of my friends had it done.
Yes.
One of my friend actually had it done in Ireland.
Yes.
And they took a little bit too much skin on one eye. So now, when she sleeps,
oh my God,
one of her eyes doesn't close.
Are we allowed to say her name? No, we're not allowed to say her name. We just had the same conversation.
Michelle Cullen.
No.
Is that her?
No.
Another girl.
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
but there you go. So she can't close one of her eye properly. Mm. So the air goes in while she sleeps.
Dry
and
eyes.
Her eye waters all the time.
And tell me this. Did she go to like somebody reputable?
No, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it can happen.
And she paid a fortune.
Yeah. Surgery, like it doesn't matter what surgeon you go to or what hospital you go to, surgery will always have a risk.
Yeah.
Especially like cosmetic
I think
surgery.
The risk is limited and mitigated if you go to somebody reputable, obviously.
Yes, exactly. And now the procedure is only 20 minutes long.
Now, hold on, let's talk. You decided to go to Shewan Murphy, who is
so I decided to go to Dr. Shewan Murphy.
Why
in
did you choose Shewan?
Because a lot of my clients have gone to her now, and I know her as well anyway.
Yes.
So then I made the decision that, okay, well, she is the best plastic surgeon in the country that there is that could be.
Yeah.
So I made the decision, and it was the best decision I have ever made.
So did you go, you went in for a consult with Shewan?
Yes, I did. I actually went into a consult in COVID. It was like full lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously hospitals were open, so she was operating, and I remember we had our masks on and everything. And so that was about, 2 years ago, two and a half years ago maybe. And then I was booked in for the surgery then.
Yeah.
But then they announced another lockdown. I got so sick of it that I just said to my husband, that's it, I'm moving. I want to move to Dubai, because I have friends in Dubai, and all of my friends, there's no lockdown there. They were living their life completely. So I said, that's it, we're moving. And he said, that's fine. So I said to Shewan, I said, I need to reschedule that when I come back. So that's what we did.
So you went off to Dubai for COVID.
That is very smart.
That's very strategic.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the whole lockdown just messed with my mind so much that I gone mad. I
think a lot of people were like that. Like, it was, and when we think back on it, like, you know, we were saying to Ed, actually, our producer last week, we were like, it was actually mad when you think about
But some people enjoyed it. They enjoyed the time being home. And
me.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, I hated
it. Loads of people did. And they were cooking at home. They spent their time. I met my husband.
I kind of met my husband. And like, you know, I think it was one of those things that I thought it was lovely that we got time to spend together, which we would never have gotten to spend together. And I think our family and our children are as a result of it. So I was grateful for that time.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Nice. Right, back to the bleph. Right?
So go on. You went in.
Right.
You rescheduled.
Rescheduled, absolutely. Yeah. So we did it this summer. We did it in end of July. Mm. She did it for me. I have, I don't know if you have seen, I don't know if you have seen my stories right after the procedure. Have you?
Yeah. Yes.
You
watched them all.
Watching?
Yeah.
Well, I did ask my followers if they wanted me to post bits of the surgery.
Yeah.
And I did the poll, and 400 people voted yes.
Okay.
And only about 20 people said no, they don't want to see the bits.
Okay.
So I said, obviously, 400 people said yes.
So
they
you
want
had
to see, right?
A local anesthetic?
So it was under local anaesthetic, but
did you take a Valium or something?
No, absolutely not. No, but like you see, because I'm in the beauty industry, I work with needles as well. So once you make the decision to get something done, there is no point of being nervous or to, you know, there's absolutely no point. And I tell you what, her, Dr. Sheehan Murphy, and her nurse as well, they said that they have never seen a person not bleed and not bruise at all during surgery or after surgery, that they saw me.
Wow.
And the reason was because I was so calm.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I just went in, yeah, do your bits, do whatever you need to
do. You might also have good blood vessels or something. There might be some morphology behind that as well.
For sure. But I was just like, listen, you just do the best.
So you just lay there and let them go at your eyes and it didn't bother you.
There's no point of being nervous. If you're nervous, your blood pressure. And the same applies to my clients, you see, because I'm doing permanent makeup. A lot of clients would be very nervous when they come in to me first. The first time when they get their brows done. And doesn't matter how many pictures you have up on social media or how good you are or who you are or how famous you are, there will be clients that are just nervous, and that's it, because this is the first time. It's only your face. And when they come up, when they come in,
it's only your face.
They're going to bleed and they're going to bruise more.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
Okay.
So I knew this. So that's how I went in for my upper eyelid surgery.
And did she use, I'm not sure because there's lots of different techniques, but did she use like a cauterizing tool or she use a scalpel?
A blade.
A blade, I think.
Just a blade. Yeah. And they just take a little sliver off each eye, off the top, and then they just sew it up with it. Kind of, it's a long stitch, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they take a piece of skin first, and then she had to cut into the muscle. So there's a video as well, because I asked her nurse to actually take some videos of the procedure, because I knew that I wanted this. I'm obsessed. I love that.
Yeah,
me
too.
Those gory bits. And then she went in with a little scissors and she had to cut out the muscle.
Yeah. Oh.
And then sew the whole thing together.
So she cut out the muscle. And is that normal?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. No.
I didn't know that. That's,
Yeah.
Wow. And so 20 minutes.
And what happened after 20
minutes? Obviously, I was in there for about 2 hours.
Okay.
So first, you get a local anesthetic. Sorry, you would get a topical anesthetic, just on the eyelid.
Lidocaine.
Yeah, exactly. But a very strong one, so that when she goes in with the injection, with the local, that you're not going to feel the needle either, you know. So so altogether, with the consultation, with the preparation, with the anesthesia, with the aftercare, with everything else, it was about 2 hours.
And
the procedure itself was only 20 minutes.
And you walked out the door?
And I walked out, and I'm going to tell you something which I probably shouldn't.
Oh my God, I know what you did.
You went out for dinner.
I was going to say,
what?
No, yeah.
That is, no.
I did.
You did not.
She did.
Well, I know someone else who did things.
She did.
Oh my God.
Dr. Murphy did say that, now, you know, I know you, so you'll be fine.
You drove home? Oh my God.
I drove to work. I had to work because my assistant was
away. To work.
She was on holidays. So I had an order to pack up. So I actually had to go in.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh
my
God. And
it was fine. And I'll tell you what.
And what about the next day? Were you not like a little big swollen eyes?
It was swollen, but it wasn't very badly at all.
Yeah.
But I tell you something else. It was not sore at all. And I am the wimpiest of chickens that there is on earth. I do not like any kind of, not pain. I don't like any feeling. Even just washing my hair would hurt me, right?
Okay, I don't know.
So
you are a bit complex now, because you can take a bleph without anesthetic, but you don't like washing your hair.
All the blephs I think are done without anesthetic. They're all done on
No, most people, no, yeah, but a lot, no, not all of them. If you can choose to have general, but also it would cost a lot more. But also,
exactly. But then
a lot of people will take a Valium just to chill, do you know?
But that's it. But you can't. Not that you can't. You can, absolutely can. But you shouldn't. I think it's just, if you make up your mind that you want to get something done, you just need to chill and let the professional do their job.
Yeah, trust
and
them. Monica, and you're unusual. 99% of people would definitely take a Valium and not.
I think I'd be the same. Well, I'd like to think I'd be the same.
Would you?
Yeah, I think I'd be like,
she does this 24/7.
Yeah.
For years and years and years.
She's a very skilled surgeon.
Were you worried at all that
that
the results, not about the surgery, were you worried that the results weren't going to be
good enough?
Good enough? Or what I've heard a lot of blephs patients have said, you know, their fears were that there is a kind of a cut and paste bleph that they just take out. They don't necessarily take the person's eye shape into consideration or their face shape, and they just take off a piece of skin. It's like, you know, it's like a circumcision basically and it's like job done, cookie cutter. And then, but the eyelid, the eye shape isn't taken into consideration. And that's why, you know, as you said, the Real Housewives, a lot of them kind of have that, like,
yes.
that Big eyed look. Yes. You know, it's because the eyelids are kind of actually permanently open.
But they probably had number of blaps.
Possibly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A number of eyelid surgeries, not just the one. Mm.
Tell me this then. What was your downtime like?
A week. I would say five, 6 days. I wasn't bruised at all. It was swollen the next day, but you just have to ice it. So they did tell me that in the hospital, that you just have to ice all the time, like constantly just ice.
Could you leave the house?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I just put our glasses on. I had to have
and you look fine.
To go to a birthday party for my daughter and stuff, you know. So I just obviously just kept my sunglasses on. And if I met somebody that I knew or that I could talk to, obviously I just showed them that, you know, what I was getting.
So any scarring?
So obviously there is a scar, but I have to say I'm also absolutely delighted you could not see. Obviously,
I'm
I have makeup on
you.
Now.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah,
but if I take my makeup off, you could not.
Because it's
see
in the fold,
thing.
Right?
It's right in the fold. Yeah. But you, even if obviously if you stretch it and you come up really close, you can barely see it.
And were you able to sleep afterwards?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no bother.
No bother.
Okay, another question for you on this. You were saying to me earlier about you think people should just stop being scared of plastic surgery and just, you know.
Absolutely.
There's so much going on. People spend so much on tweakments.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
That if you'd have spent the tweakment money 10 times over by the time you had the plastic surgery.
Oh my
done.
God. There is about, I would say, 20 milligrams of filler in my face. And obviously, I don't know, probably hundreds of milligrams of Botox at this stage.
And you don't, so look, it. You don't amount, look it.
The amount of money that I have spent on fillers, Botox, Profilo, all of that. Now, Botox
is that your go-to?
Fantastic.
Botox, fillers, Profilo, is that your kind
Profilo?
Of...
Profilo, no, I don't think it's worth it at all. What do you think? I tried it once. I didn't feel...
I'm not a fan. Yeah, I like it.
It's very expensive for what you get.
Agree,
you don't get
entirely.
Much of it. So again...
Liz and I call it the value. Diamond necklace. Yeah. So like you need the Spanx, you need the black dress, you need the good shoes... And then, if you've got the dollars, then you get the diamond necklace. And I always
take your Profilo. But your Botox is your black dress. Your Spanx is your
fillers.
Your fillers. Or maybe it's the other way around. And then your Wonder Bra is your, you know.
Very good. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And only then are you allowed to put on the diamond necklace. Because people are like, I'll just get some Profilo. And I'm like, oh, no.
No point wearing a diamond necklace with a tracksuit.
With your dirty tracksuit. Yeah. You've got to sort out the rest first. But Botox, filler, Profilo.
But even surgeons. Yes. Or even aestheticians will tell you that really none of it really work. I mean, it did work, yeah, for a time being, for maybe, you know, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, whatever, maybe, probably not even two years. But you're not going to see a massive result. So surgery is the only thing that will actually get you the result. And my next thing is now a lower facelift.
What? Go on,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But a vertical one.
Oh, yeah.
The one where there is so with the lower facelift, they would have to cut around your ear. Yes. They would have to get rid of this, you know. And
the vertical facelift. Where or who are you going to go to?
Well, I don't know. What is the vertical facelift then?
Normal
lower facelift, they have to cut around here and then they pull your skin around. Sometimes it can distort your face in a way because they pull so much skin that you look a little bit different if it's not done right.
Yeah, because that's correct?
But vertical, they rehang the muscle.
Yeah.
And then they rehang the skin.
So where
is the
incision?
No, it's still there, but it's what they do is they're moving the planes of skin along with the muscle the whole way along. So it's
whereas
not
before
just
they used to pull the skin.
Okay.
It's muscle, skin, smaz, the whole lot.
Ed is having a heart attack here.
Yeah. Ed's like,
we're
taxi,
just pulling to this
taxi.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Grow a beard.
Grow a beard.
This is the mad solution.
Listen, Conchita West over here in the corner.
My husband, every time I get something that my husband is like, I know, you don't need it.
I love this shit like they say, I don't need it. My husband said to me yesterday, he goes, you look great. I love when you look so natural like this. And I was like, can I just tell you how much money it cost me to look this fucking natural? And I'm like, I've got spray tans, eyelashes, makeup, Botox, fillers, more lasers than I did beat the band.
Yeah.
And like, that's just the kind of,
that's
you know,
the start.
That's the maintenance stuff, you know, let alone the other stuff.
And that is the other thing we don't talk about is but the maintenance of tweakments, i.e. filler, Botox, Profilo, whatever, it is endless. It is endless. And also, like, it's so cyclical. Like, you know, you get your Botox or your fillers, whatever, and you look great. Now, the first week or two, nothing happens. And then you suddenly wake up and you're like, boom! And then 6 months later, you wake up and go,
I'll do it again.
It's gone. Here we gotta go back.
Tell us this. Well, I don't know if you
Sorry, Blef, before we get off the bluff, how much was it?
How much?
5K.
Okay, 5K. Any of it covered under health insurance or anything like that? No.
It could have been.
If you have any vision stuff.
Yes, exactly. So that was one of my options, that if the skin was hanging a lot over the eye and it would have affected my vision in work, because obviously I need to use my eye for my work and it's a very precise work what I do. So that was an option, but I just said no.
So tell me, back to the 75 million millimetres of filler in your face. Is there any of you real?
Oh, everything is real.
So I haven't got my boob. So this is another thing. Yeah. I do want to get my boob job. A lift. I do. I want to get a lift.
Okay.
I have big boobs and I hate them. But because of the size of it, it's like, psh, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And I did talk to
Dr.
Murphy. And she said, no, you don't need to get it done. I have seen your boobs and I've seen pictures on social media and whatever. And she said,
I've seen your boobs on OnlyFans.
Yeah. She said, no, you're fine. I'm not doing them.
But see, that's a good surgeon who says, no, go away.
Yeah, exactly. You know. She said, it's not that big. It's not that bad. But I do want to get it done. Okay. Eventually, I want to get it done because when you go on holidays and you want to wear a dress or whatever, like, just it doesn't, a bra just do, it doesn't look.
Have you had any other plastic surgery other than the black?
No, that's my only. But I do want to get lipo. I want to get everything.
I was about to say, do you think it's like, as the blef opened up like a chasm of everything you want now?
It was such an easy surgery. It was like a walk in the park. It was.
But
like,
I think that's no particularly easy.
I think you're unusual. Like most people. No, because most people I know have had blefs or anything. Like the recovery is hard. And, you know, as I said, there can be, you know, there are issues.
But I think also, like, I mean, you're not dealing with, like, have you had any C-sections or any stuff like that? Oh, you did?
So,
you know what the recovery is like.
Oh, yeah, but, like, that was a walk in the park, too.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with you.
Can we just talk about tattoos? Can we talk about eyebrows for 1 second? I am going to say something controversial.
You've said this about 10 times.
I would never get them done. I think it's very...
I want you to strap her. I want you to strap her to the table and do them.
Absolutely, I am doing them for you.
I think it's very hard as a blonde to get the right colour.
No. You will love it. Absolutely love it.
She has no eyebrows.
The pigments that I use, this is very important, right? The pigments that the artist uses, that they understand what the client wants and what the long effect will be. The pigments that I use, they fade away within a year.
Okay.
So this is the most
Is it sore? Were one of the most painful experiences of my freaking life.
No, it's not sore. Did you not hear what I said? I am the wimpiest of chickens.
So do you use the electric?
Any feeling? No. So when you come in, as soon as you come in, I put a topical anesthetic, just a cream on, and then that will numb you up. And then I put secondary anesthetic on constantly every 10 minutes, so you don't feel a thing.
Okay,
I'm telling you now, and I'm not.
And are you using the blade and then putting them in, or do you use the machine?
So it's a machine.
Thank God, that blade is actually torturous.
Terrifying.
I'm like torturous. Yeah. I got one of my eyebrows done, and I was like, please stop. I can't take the other one. I actually can't take the other
one. Just one breath.
I was like, and I actually spent around one breath for 2 weeks until I could build up the courage to go back and get the second one done.
Oh,
I know.
No, so I'm not against microblading. I did have a microblading lady that worked for me for a couple of years, and I'm not against it. But if you had a choice, and this is, you see, the public doesn't know very much about this. If you had a choice between getting a microblading done where they use a blade or you get permanent makeup where they use a machine, go for the machine.
Oh, go for the machine,
It will be more expensive and it's a lot more skilled job. But the blade, what happens with the blade is, with the blade, with each hair stroke, they slice the skin
wide open
with every hair stroke. So the scarring is so much bigger because every hair stroke will have to be sliced.
And then
12 months later, you have to go back for a touch-up.
I've also seen some disaster.
Honestly, the noise of it, it's like the scratching noise. And I was like, I'm just lying there going...
It's terrible for your skin.
Yeah.
So and how much does it cost, if you don't mind me asking?
It depends on your skill set, of course. I do have a couple of girls working for me. Mine will be about €500 plus €200 for the touch-up. But my girls,
they last about a year, do they?
They last about a year. Now, the touch-ups are always a lot cheaper than... So it's only expensive the first time you come.
Yeah.
And then the touch-ups are about €300 a year, which is not bad when you consider all the fillers, your nails, your hair, everything that you spend in a year. And this is in the middle of your face. So you don't want to be... You know, saving money on €50, say.
Okay. No.
You know what I mean?
No, it's not something to scrimp on.
Just telling me we have to wrap up. Can I ask one more question? What about tattoo lips, lip liner?
Yes, lip blush. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Now, I have lipstick on now, so you can't see it. But lip blush is the new the biggest thing now.
Well, I
and
want
it's
to get
super
that
natural.
Can it make your lips look a bit bigger without
no.
looking bigger?
Well, it
no.
will make it bigger just because from the age of 16 your we color. Lose color yeah. out from this, the edges of your lips. So yes. you have the tissue there, but there's no color. So it's almost like a dead. It's almost like a white ring around your lips. So this will just put the color, but very, very, very subtly.
Yes.
Very subtle.
Color match.
And you can't even see it. So it doesn't look like lipstick.
Is it sore?
Lips do.
Yeah, because like even if I got like lip Botox,
obviously you get an anesthetic topical and secondary as well. And if you will be comfortable. But
I can't believe you would consider lip sore and yet you walk in and out of a bleph.
I got my lips done there back in July, the beginning before my opera. It was the most painful thing I have ever had. It was terrible. I said,
okay, well, I'm glad you have some kind of level of pain threshold. It makes me think you're not actually a robot.
No,
she is human.
Yeah. No.
But heart filler. But I did,
Dr. Murphy, give me as much anesthesia as you have in the office. Give it to me all.
Yeah, I want it all.
I want
no pain
out of my ears. Yeah. I don't want to feel a thing ever.
Tell me this. Where can people find you if they want to follow you? And
So we are based in Stillorgan. Mm-hmm. My business is My Brows. So on social media, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. And
Monica Ivani Brows.
Monica Ivani dot My Brows is my Instagram name.
But it's M-I Brows, isn't it? It's not M-Y. It's M-I, yeah.
No, M-Y.
M-Y.
It's My Brows.
My Brows.
My brows. Mm-hmm. And our shop is in Stillorgan, but we'll be moving soon, hopefully, to a much bigger premises.
Oh. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. We really appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
And you may have partially convinced me to consider getting my eyebrows.
And you've 100% convinced me to get a bleph. Like, absolutely. Oh, like, I would like to. I'm like texting Shu and now. Yeah. Like, when is your next available? When have you got a cancellation?
I'm doing your brows. That's it.
I'm in. Done.
Girl, do my lips. She will do your lips. And get the blep. It's the best.
Get the blep.
It's such. It took 10 years.
Moral of the story, get the blep.
Get the blep. Thank you guys.
We're not
so
supposed
much.
To be pushing cosmetic surgery. What's
no, why not?
Here we are.
And now for our miracle treatment of the week. So, if you, like Zac Efron, want to go from having a relatively
cute jaw,
but like not super masculine, into having an absolutely beefy, sculpted, ripped jawline.
David Hasselhoff's dad.
You too can achieve this by slipping in your socks.
No, you have to put on furry socks.
Furry socks. Run around.
Your marble floor.
Very important. So furry socks, check. Marble floor, well, we'll have to deal with some.
Granite counter would help.
Granite counter. And go for an L, skate around your gaff. Smack your jaw off the marble counter. And then, hey presto, you're going to wake up the following morning with a massive swollen jaw, but you will look 100 times hotter. Yeah. So we've just saved you the price there of getting any surgical treatment to make you look more masculine, any filler at all to make you more masculine, any of those treatments. No need, lads. One pair of cheap furry socks from Penny's and a marble floor. Sure, you could probably skate up to one of the old shopping centres and sort that out for you, and you might even get a legal claim in the back for two. You probably get it for free and get a claim in while you're at it.
Free jawline.
Free jawlines. So there you go. If you want to look more ridey, lads, you heard it here first. Furry socks from Penny's.
Thank you, Zac Efron.
Job done, lads. Job done. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in for another episode of Fess Up. We really appreciate it. Any questions for us or for any of our guests, please DM us on @FutureBeautyShow and we will either pass them on to our guests or answer them ourselves.
Just before we wrap up, we also have a live show in the RDS on March the 2nd and 3rd for anyone who doesn't know about it. And it's this kind of conversation by 100 times with millions of experts across the health, science and medical and clinical beauty sectors, workshops, talks, free treatments, you name it. It is one big girls' beauty day out. So you can find out that all on our Instagram too. There's the plug in. And we will be back next week to talk about more treatments.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast, proudly sponsored by BTL Aesthetics, the creators of all the best clinical treatments. M-Face, M-Sculpt Neo and Exium. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. Go Loud. Sounds better with us.